What happens, of course, is after 1945 is eugenics becomes a shamed science. We associate it with Nazi Germany, and we really don't want to look at how the U.S. in any way was involved with it and nurtured it.
A little known fact about Nazi extermination camps is that it started with mental patients and that Hitler got the idea from the United States, where eugenics was considered respectable science.
In 1935, Alexis Carrel, a Nobel Prize-winning physician at Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research on the east side here, writes a book that is reviewed by the New York Times called Man the Unknown. And he writes this: gigantic sums are now required to maintain prisons and insane asylums and protect the public against gangsters and lunatics. Why do we preserve these useless and harmful beings? The abnormal prevent the development of the normal. Why should society not dispose of the criminals and insane in a more economical manner? He goes on and he says, at least any insane person who commits a crime should be humanely and economically disposed of in small euthanasic institutions supplied with proper gases.
In his book, Mad in America, Robert Whittaker makes the case that modern psychiatry continues to be influenced by eugenics, which predicated that all humans are not born equal, and that genetics can be used to favor desirable social features using Darwin's theory of evolution. Humanity was divided into the fit and the unfit, and social policy institutionalized the unfit. The practice of surgical lobotomy became widespread, and
by the end of 1920s, you'll see in the Journal of Heredity, eugenicists saying this: segregation of the insane is now fairly complete. But now what's a more permanent solution? It's sterilization, right? If we sterilize them, then they can't pass on their bad genes. We need to sterilize 10% of the American population. That's the idea.
34 states passed sterilization laws, which, according to Mr. Whittaker, were resisted by immigrants, Jews, and Catholics, who had reason to distrust how the unfit was being selected. Nonetheless, the Supreme Court, in an 8-1 decision, proclaimed with these words the rights of states to forcibly sterilize people.
It is better for all the world if instead of waiting to execute degenerate offspring for crime, or to let them starve for their imbecility, society can prevent those who are manifestly unfit from continuing their kind.
While the practice of sterilization and surgical lobotomy slowly declined after World War II, the idea that mental patients are less than human and not deserving of basic rights has survived in psychiatry. Dangerous drugs are simply modern forms of lobotomy, and the belief that genetic research will improve public health is being promoted by scientists with financial ties to the pharmaceutical industry. For the WBAI Sunday News, this is Fred Nguyen.